Jesus, that you are coming right now into our midst, and that you just shine in our midst today, God, and that you open our eyes, Jesus, so that we will see your glory, Father, and your perfect will this morning, God. Open our hearts, Jesus, so that we will receive your message, God. So just open us up right now, God, in spirit and in truth, and help us to worship you, God, and just show us your compassion, your love. And be with us here, Holy Spirit, you're so invited, and I ask you just come and fall upon us this morning and have your way here. We leave everything behind that has clouded our mind this week, Father. We lay it all down to your altar right now, Jesus. And I ask you right now to remove every sin, Father, and to just give us a clean heart, Father, clean mind, Jesus, and we want to come into that obedience of you right now, Holy Spirit, and listen to you and just take away everything that hinders us from listening right now. In Jesus' almighty name, I pray. Amen. So I got sick this week, so if I'm a little stuffed up, that's why. I'm sorry to not being able to talk really strong today unless the Holy Spirit really falls, right? So last week we spoke about Peter and the transformation of Peter and how Simon became Peter. What's going on? Am I too close to it? Okay. So everybody was here last week, right? So I don't have to go back in that whole beautiful scene. So this week I'm going to talk about the transformation of Simon, who became Peter. So Simon went in, I think I'm too close. I'm just going to pinch it right here. How about that? Yeah? Simon went from the nature of sin into hearing the word, becoming the likeness of Christ. That was something that just was really shown in Simon, the hearer, becoming transformed in Jesus Christ. And he developed faith. Peter hears the word, and the word brings faith into his heart. So when we hear the word, Jesus brings faith. Like, we develop this strong faith that Jesus Christ had. And we can see that when Peter was the only one that walked on the water, that amazing story, right? Jesus is coming on the water, and it looked like a ghost. I don't know what's going on. So he sees Jesus, and it looked like a ghost. The people were on the water in the boat, and Jesus was not on the boat with them. But they see Jesus coming towards them, and they were like, oh my goodness, it's a ghost, because he's walking on the water. And what does Peter do? He, full of passion for Jesus, he doesn't see his circumstances anymore. I don't know, is it really banging? Oh. Okay. So, where was I? So he sees Jesus, he recognizes him, he doesn't see him as a ghost, he is like, whoa, this is my Messiah, I want to get out there, I want to step into this water. And he had this faith that is such a big faith in my eyes, because who would just walk out on water, right? The disciples didn't do it, Peter did it. He stood out of this boat and he said, Jesus, I'm coming, and I don't care if I sink, because he didn't even probably think about sinking, because he saw Jesus and he looked in his eyes and he was fixed on Jesus' eyes. So he steps out in faith and walks toward Jesus. But what happens? All of a sudden, his thoughts capture him. And he is like, whoa, hold on now. I'm walking on water. So he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he starts to sink. So Jesus says, oh, Peter, you have little faith. But actually, he had more faith than the other disciples, because nobody else stepped out on that water. And Jesus really was so captured by that faith. Even though it was little faith, it was faith. And Peter really understood something there that we need to understand today. First of all, he understood who Jesus really is, and he was understanding that Jesus is the Son of God, the loving Son that came to die for us. So he trusted Jesus and he walked on the water until he got distracted by his own thoughts. But Jesus is faithful, and he covers up those distractions. If we go back to the Father and say, sorry, God, I messed up. I looked the other direction for a second, but I'm ready to look straight in your eyes again and walk with you wherever you want me to walk. And that's what Peter did. He had a failure in his life. He recognized it. He went to the Father and he said, take me back, Jesus, and I'll try again. And Jesus always is so happy when we do that. And he will walk with us. So I loved Mark 11:23. It speaks about have faith in God. Let's go there real quick. Mark 11:23. That really spoke this week to me, or last week. So it says, Jesus says, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So something that really stood out at me at this is that I pray for Lena's healing. This is just my own testimony. So Lena is always in front of me. I pray for her healing. Well, we haven't seen it yet. But guess what? Jesus says, if you have faith, it will happen. So we can say to that mountain that is in front of me right now, which is Lena's existing condition, I speak, mountain, you have to leave. Sickness, you have to leave in the name of Yeshua Mashiach. We haven't seen it yet, but in the spiritual realm, my faith is developing into something great because I start seeing the promise of the Father, which is that she will be healed. So when I speak those words out, the mountain is lifting up. Maybe it's slowly lifting up, but I have faith that it will be moved away. So the Father really showed me that scripture because it says that everything you pray for, he will give it to us. And he's the one who transforms our minds into his likeness. And when we become that likeness, we are shaped into his thinking. And his thinking is that nobody is to be sick. Nobody. Nobody. Sickness is not of God. So that's what he's really doing in my life right now. He's showing me, as he showed to Peter and the disciples, shaping the mind into seeing what Jesus sees. Jesus doesn't see the sick arm. Jesus doesn't see the sick finger. Jesus doesn't see the sick leg, whatever you're missing. Jesus sees already the healthy you, the transformed, completely healed person. He sees the arm that is restored. So he takes it and he says, it's already there. Take it and receive. So that is something that we have to come to, that understanding that Jesus doesn't see the undone thing. He sees already the fully restored thing. And that's how faith comes to this game. Faith is there when we see what's to come. And that's what Jesus saw in Peter as well. Jesus saw that Peter is no longer the failure, is no longer the sin nature. See, so Jesus saw Peter in the future being in Jesus Christ's likeness, one with the Father, doing these amazing things for the Father. But Peter had to go through an extreme schooling of character first. And we see that through the entire Gospels where he messed up. He messed up so many times where it didn't go last week. But he messed up, guys. He took his eyes off Jesus, as we see what I just said, in the water. And he sank. He rebuked Jesus. Jesus, you cannot die for us. We see that in Matthew 16:22. But Jesus recognizes that it's not Peter speaking, but Satan whispering in Peter's ears and releasing that Jesus, you should not die. So he rebuked not Peter, but he rebuked Satan right behind him because he saw the bigger picture. because we as people, we're getting deceived by Satan. So we need to recognize when he speaks, we need to rebuke that in us. Does that make sense? So then, he corrected, he always corrected, as I said last week, he always corrected Peter. Peter, I need to die. I need to die because I love you so much, that's why I came. So then he suggested to build 3 tabernacles to honor Moses, Elijah, and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. We already said that last week, but that was a failure. And he drew his sword and cut off the ear of the servant when they are in the garden, when Jesus gets arrested. And Jesus always corrected him, but because of all these failures, Peter could be shaped into something beautiful. And because he let Jesus shape him, he became the rock. Because he laid down his life for Jesus and he said, Jesus, I'm teachable. Whatever you say, I want to do. I want to be corrected. I'm laying my pride down, and that's the point right here. I'm laying my pride down. If you correct me, if Paul corrects you here in church, if Marion corrects you, if whoever, like your father, your mother, and it hurts, guys. I still don't like it when my dad says something, and I'm old now. I don't need to listen to my dad. And yes, I do. He's been set there. He's an elder. He's over me, and they have wisdom. You know, they have wisdom. God has put them here for a reason. So he was always teachable, and that was a huge key to be transformed into Jesus' likeness. And then we see he actually boasted that he would never forsake the Lord. Y'all remember that story? Jesus, I would never forsake you. I will always go with you. Jesus, I will go to death with you. And Jesus says, Peter, Peter, you will deny me 3 times. What happened then? He did it. He denied Jesus 3 times. And you know what, guys? I bet you he was so heartbroken. Not Jesus probably was, but he already knew. But I think Peter was so heartbroken that he was in such weakness that he did this. But you know what came to my mind is, he still didn't have the Holy Spirit to be strong enough to say no. He was not yet with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came later. So he was still weak in his own, you know, in his own being. That is why the Holy Spirit was sent to us, so that we're strong when we are tested. We remember when Jesus went up to the mountain and was tested 40 days. He had the Holy Spirit to be able to withstand the satanic attack. Peter didn't have it yet. But you know what Jesus did? He forgave him because he loves us so much. And what God is really showing me right now is condemnation is not of God. If you constantly feel like you're a failure, you are a nothing, you are just, oh no, I've done it again and Jesus will not love me. Lie. It's a big lie. If you come to the Father and you ask him for forgiveness as soon as you did something that is a sin, he will take you and he will embrace you and say, I love you and I'm so glad you just came back to me. I love you. Your sin has already been taken away on the cross of Golgotha. So Peter went into this awful condemnation, you know. Jesus went on the cross and he died and he could not even have fellowship with Jesus anymore. He was in that entire, I denied Jesus. He died for me and I denied him. But once Jesus came back into life and he went to Peter, he said, Peter, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then what does he do? He restored Peter and he recommissioned him as an apostle, as we see in John 21:6. I don't have a lot of time, but that is something I really wanted to just bring up before we go on the book of Acts. And so Jesus asked Peter right there, Peter, do you love me? And he asked him 3 times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you. Jesus says, feed my lambs. Then he asked again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Jesus, yes. And he says, feed my sheep. And he says again, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord. What did he say? feed my lamb, feed my sheep, and then there was another one. It was always about go and become the fisher of men. But you know what? I felt like it is kind of reversed. He also was showing Peter, you're hurting my feelings. I want you all to ask God if this is true. But what I felt like is like, it was like, the first thing is commandment is love. So if you love me, Peter, you are able to do all these things and my love. That's the first thing ever. But the other thing is kind of like, because Peter got really grieved. He was like, Jesus, how can you ask me 3 times if I love you? I told you 3 times. But you know what? The reverse is, I felt like Peter had to understand the grief that Jesus felt, because Peter was probably still in condemnation thinking, how can Jesus still love me? I failed him so badly. So maybe Jesus also gave that example on top of the other one.
Can I say?
Yes.
How many times did Peter deny?
3.
How many times did he ask?
3.
He's told
redemption. It is a redemption. But he also probably shouted, Peter, I love you this much. I love you this much. Just receive my love, you know? Yes. Exactly. That was the first thing. Right? Love is number one. He loves us so much. It doesn't matter how many times we screw up. If we run to the Father, he always loves us, even when we screw up. That's the picture. So, why was Peter in Acts so different from the Peter in the Gospel? Exactly. First of all, after the resurrection of Jesus, he saw because the scales of the eyes are open, like the veil was torn, now we can see, and Peter was transformed into that seeing, and he understood who Jesus really is after he told him, I love you, I love you, I love you. And now the Spirit fell on the disciples, and that transforms you into the likeness of Jesus. So, after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit on the disciples. In John 20, 19, 23, we can see that.
John
20, 19, 3 till 23. So, and in 2 Corinthians 3, 18, it says, being transformed into Christ's likeness. We are transformed into Christ's likeness. And that is what happened to Peter and all the apostles. Peter is now transformed into the new creation, obedient to Christ, died to self, and spirit-filled, spirit-led, humble, ready to be God's hand to perform miracles, wonders, and bring men to Jesus. One thing that Jesus really showed me this week is to be one with Jesus. Very important. It is. Let me see where this is. I'm so short on time and I have so many notes. One with Jesus, maybe I didn't think. So when you're one with Jesus, that's when you become his likeness. And here it is. So first of all, in John 17, 7 it says, he sanctified them in the truth of the word, right? And then in John 17, 20 it says, Jesus asks for us too, because like he's asking, oh, well, it's such an amazing scripture, John 17, 20. It says, Jesus, the high priestly prayer, that is before he dies, and he says, I do not ask for these only, and that is for the disciples that were with him, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So that's us, guys. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. So Jesus is really showing that it is so important to be one with him, because Jesus is in the Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in us, and we are in Jesus. I was really pondering, like meditating on that. That's just big. That means we're all one in Jesus. And That is when the transformation takes place, that Jesus, that we are walking in his likeness and that we're one with him. And that is the key, to be one with Jesus. And that is in John 17:21, that they may all be one just as you are in me, Father, and I in you, and that they may also be one in us. So John 10:30, it says what I just said, I and the Father are one, and you are one with me. So just if you make notes, that's where that is written. So now we are in the book of Acts, one of my favorite books. And I want to say something. I want to say that the book of Acts is what we should live today. The churches have really quenched the Holy Spirit in these days. Not all of them, but a lot of churches have quenched the Holy Spirit. And the more I read the book of Acts, I see, you know, we are missing out God's promise. We are missing out what we're supposed to be if we don't let the Holy Spirit in and let him move through us. How can we change the world in God's likeness? We can't. And that's why it's so important that we understand who the Holy Spirit is, because Peter didn't work out of his own fleshly works. No, he worked out of the Spirit. He let the Spirit move. So we all know the story about the amazing coming of the Holy Spirit. When he came Okay, first of all, Jesus, before he goes to heaven, he says in Acts 1, verse 8, to his disciples, you will receive power, power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. To the end of the earth. So, then Jesus goes up to heaven, and now the Holy Spirit, the promise, comes to help us. To strengthen us, to strengthen Peter and the disciples, to do God's will in this world. So this Acts 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit, it was like a sound, a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, amazing, amazing. And why do we not do all these things that are written in Acts 2 these days, you know? I feel like the devil just really tries to quench us because he knows the power is in the Holy Spirit that wants to dwell through us into this world. And when we are vessels of God, he can do this as he did through Peter. So, and then Peter, amazing Peter, just such an open vessel for the Holy Spirit. Receives the Holy Spirit and his ministry starts. What do we see? Jesus' ministry didn't start until he received the Holy Spirit when he was baptized in the water. That's when Jesus was first starting his ministry of healing. Peter and all the others received the Holy Spirit and they're ready now to go and do what Jesus did. Holy Spirit. And so his first ministry was he stood up after the Holy Spirit came and he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel and 3,000 people were saved. Amazing. And that cannot happen out of our own speech. It's not possible. So when the Holy Spirit speaks through us, it comes with love, it comes with compassion, and it enters the heart of the people. So in he says also in his sermon, let's see, in Acts 32, he says, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. As we see, he opens the eyes and he opens the ears of you. So now he's ready to go on and have his heart completely humbled with Jesus. He's always in fellowship with Jesus. And now he starts ministering to people and people are being healed. And there's so much in Acts. It's like so, Peter has done so many things in Acts through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just so amazing. In okay, let's see. I love this one. The Acts 4:29, they're praying. They're together and they're praying. And you know, that's when they give God the glory and say that we can't do it without you, Jesus. So now it says, and now, Lord, they're praying, or together. Okay, so they're saying, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand, Jesus, to heal. What does that show you? While you stretch out your hand. This, like, touched me. It was just amazing. They are praying that Jesus touches out his hand through their hand to heal. They don't ever see themselves as the healer, and that's very important. They say that you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. Isn't that amazing? So when we go through the whole book of Acts, it constantly said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Constantly. And that is the key into the amazing works of God on this earth to bring the kingdom down. The Holy Spirit through us. And you know, they're dwelling in us, God, Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They're all in here, wanting to come out of us, to speak the gospel, to releasing his kingdom on this earth. And so they were going to really, they asked for boldness to preach. They preached bold, and they were doing one miracle after the other. And the crazy, awesome, amazing thing that Peter also had was, he actually, his shadow healed people. His shadow. What does that mean? He was so close with the Holy Spirit that the shadow of Peter went. The Holy Spirit, that's his garment. He had the garment of the Holy Spirit on. So the Holy Spirit, his wind probably, just walked through the streets. And whoosh, healing. So we see it's not Peter, it's the garment, the power. I will clothe you with power, it says. It says in the Bible that Peter understood that. And he completely crucified his life for Jesus. He was completely transformed from the out of the world into the likeness of Jesus. Of course, he still had probably failures. But he understood who Jesus was. And that's what we need to understand. We need to understand, have a revelation, and ask God to give us a revelation who Jesus really is. Man, there's such a mystery in who Jesus really is. You know, we need to understand that he is love. I still need to understand that. I mean, it's so big. Love is so big. So then I'm just going to skip through real quick. So then they were put in prison, right? Paul says, they say, you need to obey our laws. You need to quit speaking the name Jesus. What does Paul say? Exactly. And what does Paul say in boldness of the Holy Spirit? He says, we must obey God rather than man. And I want you to, like, just always remember that when they come against us, and they will if we get strong in the Holy Spirit, we are honored if they come against us because that means we're on the right path. But we cannot overcome that unless we have the Holy Spirit. When they come against us, we need to be so strong in the Holy God and knowing who we are to overcome. He was in prison. He overcame. He was like, I don't care if I'm in prison. You're here with me, Jesus, and you're strengthening me. I almost believe his spirit was constantly in line with God, so he didn't even see the ugliness of the prison and all these things. I believe with all my heart he was so strong with Jesus that he saw probably always into the spirit realm and knowing, wow, I'm safe with you. I'm safe with you, Jesus. I don't care if they beat me. I don't care. So, and he said, I need to obey my God. I don't care what you do to me. If you put me to death, I rather still obey my God. So I feel like God is really showing us that, just to understand that we cannot do it out of our own. Even though we want to love our God, but we need to have His Spirit, His Holy, Holy Spirit. So then there's another... Okay, Peter rebukes Simon the magician. Have you all read that one before? Probably. So like this, they're doing these, laying, like Peter is in that crowd and he's laying on hands, and the people that wanted to receive the Holy Spirit received the Holy Spirit. And Simon the magician, he was like, whoa, I always do magic stuff, but I can't do that. Can you give that to me? And he was giving money. He was giving money to Peter to receive the Holy Spirit so he can perform those things, perform. And Peter rebuked him right there. He was like, you have an ugly heart and you have wrong thinking, yes, thoughts. So he said, you cannot buy the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is free, and you do not perform with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is holy, holy. You know, he wants to set you free. So when we are walking with the Holy Spirit, we need to stay humble and let the Holy Spirit be our greatest example and never perform with those gifts that He gives us. Those are not to be performing with. Those are to save people in His power. So that was a big image of do not play around with the Holy Spirit. And we need to stay in that attitude of your holy, Holy Spirit. You're holy, 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 holy. And He has called us to be holy too. And I'll get to that in a minute. And then there's the healing. I'm just going to skip through some of the amazing things that Peter, through the Holy Spirit, did in the Acts. The healing of Aeneas. Aeneas, Acts 9:32-55. So Aeneas is sick for like years and years, and he can't walk. And what does Peter say to him? Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you right now. Those were amazing words. And I just was so amazed because like last Christmas, I think, one of your little granddaughter, she gave us all those little letters of scripture. So what does she give to me? She gives exactly this scripture to me. Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you right now. And when I read this and I went home, I read it a few days later because I had put it in my Bible and forgot about it, but the Holy Spirit always brings it when we need it the most. So I opened my Bible and I was in a conflict with God. Why, God? Why is Lena not healed? You know what? Wow. So I opened that Bible and God gives me that scripture right there. And I keep saying, Lena, Jesus Christ heals you right now. So that's my statement for her. Whenever I think of it, that's what I tell her. That's what I speak over her. Lena, Jesus Christ heals you right now. That's what you can speak over yourself. If you're sick, put your name in there. Say, Jesus Christ heals you right now. Say it until it comes true. Your faith will be made strong. When you say it, it will be completely transformed into what you see later on. And once you get to that point where you don't see anything else anymore, whoops, it's there. And I've noticed that about myself lately. People constantly right now, especially people left and right, they're like, oh, Lena might never be healed. Oh, even then even if it never comes to, and you know what I say? I'm like, no, it's not a question. This is not of God. It's not of God. I see something completely different in my mind already that I feel like the devil wants to destroy, because I'm seeing already the fulfillment of what Jesus promised. So that's what we need to come to understand. Jesus sees the completion. doesn't see the sickness. He sees the completion. And if it's still a little further out, because it hasn't happened yet, he probably is working on our minds to be transformed into his image. And that takes time, as we see even with Peter. He was in discipleship for 3 years with Jesus. It never happened there. It happened later. So, yes. So Jesus Christ heals you. And then he stood up and he was healed. Wow. Amazing. And I'm just going to say this real quick. Then Peter has a vision in Acts 10 where Jesus shows him that we are all one in Jesus. There is no Jew of favoritism. Jesus doesn't favor anybody. He loves us all the same. So he shouted, Peter, you need to come to the understanding that I love also the Gentiles. I have come for the entire world, for everyone. So he shows Peter that. And Peter had to accept it, because it was hard for him to accept, because he has always learned only the Jewish people are holy for God. No, Jesus loves us all the same. So now he was ready even to go to the Gentiles and preach. The new covenant, exactly. He did come for the Jew first, but he also, exactly. So now we're coming to Acts 10:44-48, where the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. Amazing. If I had time, I would read it all. But, so first of all, Peter gets questioned by the church in Acts 11. So in Acts 10, it says that they were all gathered together, and Peter was preaching, and the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. And now they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and so he says, let them be baptized with water also. So he had to accept this is Jesus' work. So now they are also filled with the Holy Spirit and ready to do what Jesus tells them to do. But the church of Peter, they question him. Why? How can this be? And he said, because Jesus has spoken and Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit over them. I couldn't believe it myself, but we need to obey Jesus. What he says is true. So now they are ready to accept that too. And they say, okay, we accept it because the Holy Spirit spoke. Then Peter is imprisoned in Acts 12. And he is rescued by an angel out of that prison because Herod was, or he already killed James, the disciple, and he wanted to kill Peter as well, the morning of that. But God, it was not his time yet to die. So God puts an angel into the prison cell and sets him free. And Herod dies later on, struck by an angel, eaten by worms, because they were calling him the God, and you know, and he was prideful and said, yes, I am the God. He wouldn't glorify God. So it's very important that we stay humble. So there's so much more again, and it's already 10:15. Let's see. What fascinates me is, we're going to go real quick to Acts 12:15, is that, you know, Peter was released from prison, and he runs to the house of the disciples, and it's like, let me in. And I think Mary, like, she's like, oh my goodness, it's Peter. So she doesn't even open the door, and she runs to the disciples. She's like, Peter stands outside. He wants in. And they were like, that's not possible. He is in prison. They say, it's probably his angel. It's like, hold on now. His angel. So it must have been so normal for them to see angels, that it was more normal to them to say, oh, it must be his angel, than, oh yeah, maybe it is Peter. That just really struck me. I was like, back then, angels were just there among them in visions and dreams and right there, you know? And I think that God wants to restore that, that we come to that transformed mind, that we are already in that, we should be with the angels working with God. They were always there. rescuing his people. So I'm going to read the New Life real quick, because in Ephesians 4:21 it says, put off your old self. Okay, it's in 22. Ephesians 4:22. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we need to put away falsehood. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to do the evil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone he meets. So here it goes, let no corruption talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Make a note of that. We were sealed with him, do not grieve him. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Those are all things that we really need to ask God to help us with. It says that when you're angry, don't let it rule you. Of course, human nature, we get angry. As soon as it comes, the other day I was so angry at something. And I was like, and then I was like starting to really like let it come out of my mouth. I'm like, I hate that. Yes, I'm human. But all of a sudden, I was like, no, my soul loves God. The God my soul loves does not want me to be this way. And I'm going to take control of this right now. And I say, no. You know, and that's when we come to that heart of repentance. And we take control of what comes out of us. Because there is a beast in us that needs to be under the feet of Jesus Christ. That's the sin of nature sin, right? Sin of nature. Once you feel it coming, we all have it. Be honest. Say no. No. I say no. Jesus is rising up in me right now, and he's taking control of my thoughts and of my anger and of my ugly talking. I don't want to talk bad about my brother. I don't want to talk bad about anything. I'm going to speak blessings over this person right now that hurt my feelings. I'm going to speak the word of God over this person so that her eyes will be opened or his eyes will be opened. Father, show me what's wrong with me first. There's something wrong with me as well. Put the splinter out of my eyes first. I mean, we're all human. That's what we have to come to. We have to put it under our feet as soon as it rises. And we all know that feeling. Man, do we know that feeling. But that's what it says there. Put the old self to death and put the new creation on, which is Jesus Christ. I'm going to quit in a minute. And then in Ephesians 5:1 till 2 it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then it says in Ephesians 5:14, it says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Peter did that. He woke up from his slumber, followed Jesus. He rose from the dead with Jesus, and Christ was shining on him, as we see in the entire book of Acts. He was walking the light. He was walking the Father's heart on this earth. He was bringing forth the kingdom of God by showing love of Jesus, by touching the sick and saying, Jesus loves you. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Rise up. Take your mat. You have been forgiven. You're healed. So I believe that's our message right now, to just study out Acts and become Peter's, become Paul's, become the person that God has chosen you to be. I really want to just like say this real quick though, because in 1 Peter, Peter wrote two books, right? And they're amazing. And in 1 Peter 1:13 it says, first of all, he keeps saying that he had revelations of Jesus Christ, and that's made him, you know, become who he is. In 13, let me see where it is. So here it goes again. So call to be holy. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray that we will get the full revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passion of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are transformed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So then we just see that what Jesus did for us. And then in 1 Peter 2:4, it says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by man, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You are so chosen and precious in God's sight. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Wow, guys, precious stones, chosen by him. So here we go. This is the last one I'm going to read. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Here we go again. I want you to understand how chosen you are. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against the soul. I'm going to close with that. Time is up. But just crucify your flesh, because it says there, I urge you to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Flesh always is against the spirit. I feel weak. That's my flesh. The spirit says, get up, get up, get up. Once you just get up and speak the name of Jesus over your life and speak my holy language through you, you will get strong. And I will make you a strong person. When I speak in tongues, it starts, as I said one time here when I was teaching, it starts like this. Oh, I just don't want to speak right now. I just want to be quiet. I feel so much better. No, the Holy Spirit says, do it! Do it! Gosh, okay, I do it because I want to be obedient. All of a sudden it starts. Oh my goodness, I feel the strength! Strength by the Spirit of God! Oh, I no longer feel that disgusting, fleshly, weak feeling. Now I am strengthened and I walk in the rest of God that He's speaking about in His Word. Come into my rest. The resting place is when we overcome the fleshly desires, all of a sudden we feel the strength in us, the strength of the living God. Now I feel powered up, guys. This morning, I felt sick because I've been sick the last 3 days. I slept all afternoon yesterday, and I was like, I need to get up just to get ready for today. I was so tired, but guess what? As soon as I got up, I was obedient. The strength came. That's what it talks about. Just do not give in to your fleshly desires anymore. Become the strong person in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That's how we're supposed to go in this world. Strong in the Spirit. So be encouraged to do that. I mean, it's a struggle, but do it.